I hate to tell you this morning, but my sight is very poor. I don't even know what I'll manage all morning, but I'll try to. In this 50th chapter of John's Gospel, there are a number of things said that I ought to call your attention to, but we'll read the chapter first. And I have to read it with my magnifying glass the first time. Pardon? Well, that'd be okay too. Read the first 20 verses of the chapter. Somebody. Thank you very much. We just pray that God will give the thought that we want to pass on to you for this portion of God's Word. I don't know exactly why, but this morning, for the first time for months and years, I guess, I'm unable to read. I don't like it very much myself because my eyes are, well, I'm helpless without my eyes. That's all there is to it. And I appreciate you praying for me that the Lord might be pleased to restore my sight in some measure. This today may be for some special reason. I don't really know why. It hasn't been so dull this morning, but it just is that way. And so just excuse me. And I'll help try by the grace of God to look a little bit at these verses we were just now reading. You can't expect, of course, to remember all of this chapter, so I want to remember you to begin with the fact that we lived in this chapter about four pictures applying to the Christian. First of all, it says that we are the branches rather in the vine. Mentions that, I think, in verse 5 to begin with, out before that even. The believer is spoken of as a branch in the vine. Secondly, in verse 15, he's spoken of as a friend. Ye are my friends, the Lord Jesus said. Third, they're spoken of as servants. And finally, ye shall bear witness. He said, you are witnesses. There are four terms that apply to this chapter. They're very simple. They all have this deep spiritual meaning applied to Christians. The branches, the friends, the servants, and the witnesses. Now, I've been thinking about this quite a bit, and to my mind came to some rather striking thoughts in this portion of Scripture. For instance, it gives you four different terms applied to the Christian. The first one is only a picture. You're not actually branches, of course, in the vine, but it's used as an illustration of what the Christian is. So the first one is an illustration. It's a picture. It's not real, but it's used as an illustration to make spiritual things real to us. So first of all, there's the branch. Then the friend. Then the servant, and then the witness. Now those three, of course, are applied to physical human beings. We are friends of God, as it says in verse 15. He calls us his friends. Then we are servants, as it mentions in verse 20, and verse 15 also. And then we are witnesses. Those last three are applied, of course, directly to human beings. But the branch is not a human being. It's a little creature, but it's used as an illustration. Now, what strikes me very much in reading this portion of Scripture and thinking about it, that the illustration, the one he used as an illustration, says much more than the others do that talk about real life. And that gives us the understanding when we study the Word of God that the illustrations in the Bible are more real often than the real lives. Like in the branch, it's the most striking illustration in real life. It says several things that real life doesn't say. Now, for instance, we are friends, but doesn't say what kind of friends. We might be friends that are indifferent, or friends that we don't have, so to speak, at all. It might be a negative there, and so forth. You can say anything about friends. You can say anything about servants, or about witnesses too. But when you say a branch, you immediately think of at least two things. First of all, that it exists, that this little and insignificant a branch or a vine, and secondly, that it has life. Now when you say friends, the friend might be dead. When you say servant, the servant might not even exist, or he might be turned away from you, be your enemy. And so when you say branch, and you say vine or branch, you say, talk about life instantly. In other words, when God used to tell about Christ is the branch, the vine rather, the living vine, and we are the branches, it tells us immediately that we have life. That the important feature starts with life. Have we got life? It's an illustration he's used, but the Lord Jesus himself says in this chapter, I am the true vine. So he's using it as an illustration. But he has life. Life. And oh, how much depends on that in our existence. Life. In fact, life is everything. We didn't have life at one time, but we got it at one time. We got natural life. God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And then when you and I were saved by the grace of God, we got spiritual life. We were born again. And we never lose it. It is ours forever. So that life is a very vital and very important, very comprehensive term to think about. And that's what you have in the connection with the branches in the opening of this chapter. The one illustration that's used of a Christian is the illustration of a branch in this chapter, to begin with, in this chapter. And it tells us this, that for the important thing, that the believer has a life. Now, where did he get his natural life from? Because God gave it to him. God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. He got his life as a gift from God. He didn't earn it, he didn't work for it, it was breathed into him. And then secondly, we know the Christian is born again. He gets life the second time, and again, he doesn't work for it. It's breathed into him. The Lord Jesus says, I am the vine and ye are the branches. Now the branches are dependent. The vine, so to speak, is independent. The vine is the plant itself. The vine has the life. But the branches have the life imparted to them, but they don't have it one time. That is, the vine speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ as the one who independently has life. He's dependent on nobody for it. He is the life eternal. This is life eternal. Christ is. But the branch is dependent on that vine. The branch grows out of the vine or grows into the vine, however you want to put it. And while the vine has life independently of itself, the branch has life dependent on the vine. In other words, it is actually born into the vine. That branch comes out of the vine. It is born into, comes out of the vine. And that is how you and I get life eternal. I am the vine, says ye are the branches. And the branches do nothing to become the branches except they are born into the vine. It's their parent, so to speak. And the Lord Jesus says, I am the vine. There's only one that's absolutely independent. In spiritual life, we know there are billions of believers, but there's only one Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one vine, and there are very, very many branches in that one vine. And that's the way he starts this chapter. He starts the chapter by telling us that life is given to us, is imparted to us, not by any human efforts. We are born into the vine, branch is born into the vine. So first of all, you have the branch. And like I said a while ago, it's the simplest of the four. The other ones speak of the believer as a friend, as a servant, as a witness, which are lovely terms, but they're weaker than the first one. Well, you have the word that, you have something you do not have in the other thing. You have the positive assurance that there is life there. And you don't have it set of the other. The baby, but listen, but this that you define has life. So that first of all you have life, and then secondly, it says that we are friends. And there you have the word love suggested. It says there's love. In fact, he speaks of love in friends in this chapter. So you have love. That third, a servant, that they have work or labor. And finally, a witness, and there you have, what's a witness? He's the one that bears light. So you have life, love, labor, and light. In the four terms that they use in this chapter to describe what a Christian is. It is the Christian, the believer in Christ, and it shows you the blessings, the realities that are his in Christ. There's labor, and there's life, love, labor, and light. Besides, it is the three, four pictures, four terms that are used in this chapter to describe what Christianity really is. And the apostle also says in this chapter, by the Spirit of God, those three are used. Now, how does this vine get life? Of course, I've said already, it is born into it. That branch comes out of the vine. The branch produces it. The vine produces it. The branch comes out of the vine, so that his life comes through Christ, so he says, I am the vine. And all our life that we have comes to us through him. And then, of course, you have the lovely picture used in connection with the vine to illustrate all this most further still, and that is that the vine. And the Lord Jesus using in this story, of course, the grapevine, I have the true vine, and here are the branches. That this vine brings blessing in a peculiar way. It brings blessing through life, first of all, for the branch, the vine has life. And secondly, through death. For that vine produces grapes. And those grapes are only used when you're only profitable when you use them. When you bruise them, if you eat them at all, you eat the grapes and you connect yourself with them in that way. Or if you want to turn it into wine, then you bruise and beat them in order to get the liquid. And so, the next thing you read when you read this wine, and it's branches to read the story of how salvation comes. But you don't read when you read the word friend. But you do read it definitely when you look at the branch. Thus, those grapes are bruised and crushed and beaten in order to produce life. And it tells you this, that in order to produce life, in order to produce blessing, it called for the death, the suffering, the humiliation, the fearful horror our Savior passed through in order to produce the joy, the wine that speaks to us in Scripture was almost of joy. Striking, isn't it? That God just sees fit to use a figure that in itself speaks of suffering for wine. The grapes are dreaded and beaten, and yet it speaks of the joy that it produces. It tells us this, that the suffering in God's economy, it's always that it produces the real thing. It is the vine, the branches beaten and so forth that produce the joy which delights the heart of man. And so he uses this term of vine and branches to emphasize those truths. And they're very simple. So much more could be said on it. But here it is. I am the vine and ye are the branches. Now the Lord Jesus Christ is not speaking here more of than just the blessing it brings to us. But he says, ye are the branches. He points to the fact of the blessing that we bring to others. For the branches have the grapes on them. Now the grapes, of course, are used by others. And so when he says, I am by the end of the branch, he's not only telling us that he is the source of blessing, but we are the channels of blessing. That is, the grapes grow on the vines, the grapes grow on the branches. The vine produces the branches, but the branches produce the grapes. And so he tells that God in his infinite wisdom has seen fit to have his son come into the world and die on the cross, that through his death, life might come, and through us as Christians, that life is passed on to others. For it is not the vine, so to speak, that bears the grapes, it's the branches that bear the grapes. And the Lord is telling us that through his disciples, to bring to that wonderful truth, that while I am the vine, I am the independent one. You branches cannot produce any grapes except through me. You are dependent on the vine. The branches come out of the vine and depend on the vine. And yet, while you are dependent on me, let me hear the Lord Jesus Christ say, I am dependent on you. For the grapes grow on the branches. Normal. And so, the branches are dependent for me on the grapes, and mankind is dependent for you on the grapes, but they grow on the branches, and you are the branches. He's telling us the wonderful story of why he himself is the independent, living, eternal God, yet blessing of mankind he sees fit to bring to you and me. We are the branches. And thus we have to bring forth fruit. And that fruit is produced, it's passed on to mankind when the branches are beaten and bruised and so forth, or the grapes are, and the wine thus is brought forth. I think much more could be said on this. But I like to dream about this. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. Don't ever forget that the Lord Jesus Christ is the independent one from whom all blessing comes. And at the same time, he has seen fit to make us the dependent ones. Have man look at us, so to speak, for the branches produce the grapes. And we in our life bring forth fruit for his praise and glory. For our own joy when we drink the wine and for the joy of others when we pass it on to them. So that much of this has, in this chapter is occupied with that thought of the branches. Then he passes on to the other words, which are not illustrations, which are realities. They're his friends. Ye are my friends. I don't call you servants, he said. We are his servants, but we are more than his friends. In friendship, you have the precious truth that we are considered by him and appreciated by him. Think of being able to say that I am a friend of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ye are my friends. And friendship is shown by doing the things that I command you. And so not only do we bear fruit, but in our life we bear witness to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're his first friends, he said. And you're bearing witness for me. Then he says, I call you not servants, but later on in the chapter he does call us servants. And that means, of course, that servants are to live the life of obedience, of subjection to him. And while we are friends, that put us on an equal level. We are servants, that put us on a subservient level. To remember that while it's true that he has brought us so near that we are nearer to him, no nearer we could not be. It's also true that we are his servants. We have to do his will. Seek to do his business. And he sets the example by himself, telling us again and again that he came to earth to do his father's will, not his own. And so in being servants, we recognize that we are to be obedient to God and to do his will and to walk in his way. And then, of course, witnesses, that's plain enough. We are witnesses. Ye are witnesses of these things, he says. And witness talks about that which he has seen and knows. He's not guessing at things. See. And you and I, having been saved by the grace of God, having received life eternal, serving him in humility of mind and heart as servants, we learn to know his ways. We see God's actions. We learn to know how he operates and why he operates the way he does. And Christians thus are witnesses. Because they're in touch with Christ. We don't see what he did with the eyes in our heads because we were not here when he did so. But the witness that we bear that the Spirit of God convicts us of is just as real and more real than the witness that you see with your eyes. With your eyes, very often you can be deceived, mixed up. But when you believe what God's Word says, when you use the eyes of faith, you have no uncertainty. So in those four terms, you have a lovely thought suggested. First of all, that Christ is the independent one of you, dependent on him. Secondly, we have close communion with him, his friends. And finally, that we have to serve him, to work for him, to honor him in all our ways, and to bear testimony to what the Bible has to say about him, to be witnesses for these things. And looking at those four ones, I'd like to have another four things, if you notice as we leave the subject. First of all, you have, as we said at the beginning, branches suggested, branches, friends, servants, and witnesses. Then the close, he talks about this chapter of bearing fruit, talks about the chapter of, the joy that the believer knows and so forth. He talks about the joy of salvation and so forth. And so in these four things, I would suggest you have another triplet, which I find kind of handy to take along with me when I think of something like this. And that is, first of all, in the branches, you have the idea of fruit bearing. Bearing fruit. On the branch, you expect to find fruit. Then in friends, you have the idea of fellowship. In service, you have the idea of faithfulness. Service, is told the Peter's to do what he's told. And in witness, I tried to find an F for that. The only one I can find, the Christian witness, is to be fervent. And you might call it fervency. There are four things that mark a Christian. Fruitfulness, fellowship, faithfulness, and fervency. You have them in this chapter where you have these Christian percentage of the four different things. First of all, branches. Then friends, servants, and witnesses. And you and I have to be that. And we are that. In some measure, all of us who are Christians. How wonderful it is to be the branch of the vine, and know that Christ is mine, and through me others can know him to be as their Savior. To feed and feast on the joy of great salvation things, when the Christian's vine produces the grapes, and the grape produces the wine that speaks of joy. We had some of it this morning as we remembered the Lord, his precious death. And so forth, and then we bear witness to all this in the life we live. We bear our testimony to God's precious truth as we preach the word, and so forth and so on. May God bless these thoughts to us. Let's carry these four things home for us. The rest you can forget. But remember that the Christians he left here to be fruitful. To be fruitful. To have fellowship. To be faithful, and to be firm in the work of the Lord, in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our God and our Father, we pray how bad thy blessed life will look upon the feebleness with which it has been possessed of our God. And we pray that these great truths, these wonderful, powerful exhortations may be taken home by us as his people. Oh, may we realize that he is divine. All of it is dependent upon him, essentially. But from him, and through him, and through us, all these blessings can be the portion of others. We pray, our God, add thy blessing to us, and use us for thy glory. We ask it, you give you our thanks for the Lord Jesus Christ and all that he is to us, his own precious and peerless name. Amen. Well, I guess the meeting's over.